right. We're really doing
it. Yeah.
Hello, Keen. How are you?
Been better, Spey.
Yeah, I could say the same. A little hungover today.
Yeah, a little sleep-deprived, a little hungover after a real successful Pals Podcast meetup.
A great Pals Podcast East Coast meetup. We got some great information. We're got one of the biggest sclusies we've ever had on Pals Podcast.
Yes, yes. And you know how we love sclusies here.
Nothing like a nice juicy sclusie. some big news in the entertainment world that we can break here live on tape. And we can also recount some of the fun times we had here on the East Coast and our nation's capital and on Columbia Pike.
Yeah, yeah. Generally involving, I guess, mass consumptions of beer.
Yeah, I have a lot of empties in my junior executive.
A lot of fatty natties just sitting there.
A lot of fat. Well, I've consolidated them all to the kitchen counter, but I need to bag them up and dump them down the garbage chute, which is one of the more satisfying things about living in an apartment, I might say.
It really is, yeah. That was actually my favorite. I noticed now that your apartment's actually very close to the trash chute, so you don't even have to lug your garbage that far.
Yeah, one of the nice things about the junior executive is steps to the elevators and the trash chute. It saves, you know, all those seconds walking down a boring hallway, you know.
Yeah.
That hallway time is stuff that you never get back, so...
Well, we did have a friend of the show, Jason Lax, out there this weekend. I think he was very impressed with the junior executive.
Yeah, we commented and discussed, but the wall with my very decent collection of graphic novels is quite impressive.
He was quite taken with the view, I think.
Yeah, there's a nice view. You get to see the monuments, but more so, it is next to the view. You know, you have the full size mirror. I mean, the windows.
But it's
the bookshelf full of very
it's the bookshelf. Yeah,
decent graphic novels. Trape.
Well, I think he was also impressed with the exercise equipment that's in there.
Yeah, my home.
It was my first chance to see the tubes in person.
Resistance tubes. I like how you guys all grabbed them and did the same thing, which is just step on it with one foot and just start rapidly moving them up and down.
Yeah, well, that's all you have to do. That's what real workout experts do.
But if you are an experienced tubeman like I am, you would know that you have to use both feet to get a larger stance to create some real resistance with the tubes.
Yeah, well, we'll work on it, Spag. We'll work on it.
I did get a good chuckle from that nice-looking waitress at Black Squirrel and Adams Morgan.
Yes, yeah.
When she overheard me tell you – when I told you guys that – I'm so good at using these resistance tubes that you can call me tubular.
I thought you could have taken her straight to Pound Town after that, Spay.
Yeah, in fact, I wouldn't mind staying at Black Squirrel a little bit longer. It was right up our alley as far as drinking establishments, I felt.
Yes, yes. High alcohol content, a lot of beers, low-key. It's actually one. I mean, other than Dance Cafe, I think it's the only acceptable place to go in Adams Morgan.
Yeah, I would – It'd be up there. I wouldn't be able to name that many places, but you're kind of an expert when it comes to...
It's pretty much a safe assumption.
When it comes to bars in various neighborhoods in D.C., you probably have that covered like no one else. So
I do excel at that.
Take your word for it. But it was good. It was just like a dark, fairly quiet room with a attractive young lady serving beers.
Yeah, who actually seemed entertained by us for parts of the day.
Yeah, what were the... Oh, she also liked all my Putin jokes.
Yeah, she didn't seem totally annoyed with us like they would be at most places.
Yeah, instead she was like, oh, thank you for providing a brief respite from the boring drudgery of bar maintenance and setting up that orange rind infusing nonsense that they were...
Yeah, that weird contraption.
It was a contraption.
Yeah, that was a good place. I thought that was a good pregame. This, of course, was on Friday.
Yeah.
Where you chose to be a huge baby and stay home all day and pretend to work.
Right. Well, if we go back to the count, recounting the entire weekend, it started on – we basically had a four-day weekend because of 4th of July following on a Thursday.
Yes, correct.
So you came in Thursday night, correct?
Yep.
So Wednesday was basically like a weekend night, so some of us had a few adult beverages. I worked on the elliptical machine, but otherwise didn't do much, I don't think. But then Thursday started kind of the bender. So you guys got in. Ogle, his last day in Northern Virginia before shipping off to Cali, which is what I understand that most Californians like to call it. The big fans of just saying, living the Cali lifestyle.
yeah, you know, except the opposite. Yeah.
Right. So all the so he's headed over to his new home in Cali.
Yeah. Maybe. Oh, we could actually try to call him if it doesn't interrupt his caravanning.
No, that's right.
Out there.
He's on the road. So Thursday, Ogle started a little bit earlier, and then he was going to call it a night until you decided to wait up and be a good pal. Like, unlike some people, he decided that since you made the trip all the way out to the East
Coast. Oh, you mean when I literally paid hundreds of dollars and flew for 5 to 6 hours?
But you really just traded in points, right?
Well, I had to earn those points, Bay.
Well, you're always telling me how easy it is to earn those points, so it can't be...
Well, it is. It's very easy.
Oh, okay. Yes. So they really...
Regardless, there's opportunity cost involved, Bay. We're all economists here.
Yeah, but the point is that it's so easy that there's really not... There's no reason not to do it, right?
Yeah, it's very true.
So they're...
Especially once we get our LLC going. Yeah, that'll be even more true then.
Yeah, then you can really rack up those points. You can just become...
Yeah.
They can just start calling you the point king.
Yeah.
So then we drank pretty heavily on Thursday.
I'd say pretty heavily, quite heavily. I mean, we closed the bar down pretty much. Almost closed it down.
We just went, oh, right, we went to Billy Jeff's.
Yeah, Billy Jeff's. That was fun. I thought Jason had a good time. Did Ogle do anything else that day to celebrate his very last day in D.C. ever?
I think he woke up super early because he's just on an early schedule. That's why he's so tired.
Okay, well. Yeah, so... You know, it was an easy way to kick off the weekend.
Yeah, sliding right in smoothly with little to no resistance at all.
Yeah.
We lubed into the weekend, and then, so that was 4th of July, so we didn't do anything for the fireworks, but really I just sat on my Calypso Blue couch and surveyed the downtown D.C. fireworks just from the comfort of my own apartment.
Well, nobody really cares about fireworks that much. Only rubes and simpletons care about fireworks.
Yeah, they are for children, but it's still nice to know that the view is there.
Yes, true.
And then...
Then Friday, you pretended to work. You totally ruined the plans that I had.
Pretended. I wrote 2 emails and was available all day if any emergencies occurred.
On call. You're on call.
That's right. I couldn't have been out getting sozzled. What if something happened? I needed to respond there.
That's true. That's true. Until 3:30 came around, and then you could get sozzled.
Well, 3:30 came around, and I said, all right, I'm allowed to start the activities.
Yeah, so, you know, in a bit of poor planning, we were at Black Squirrel for quite a few hours, because we went to a baseball game. We sat in a luxury premium seating area.
Yeah, that was kind of the main impetus for your trip, right, is to take in a Nationals Park with...
Well, it was kind of an excuse.
Right.
It's kind of like the excuse to go out there, but... But yes, we had very good tickets for Friday night and decent tickets for Saturday night.
And I joined you for Friday, even though I couldn't care less.
Yes, even though you complained like a little girl for weeks beforehand about the cost of it. But I think now, so these tickets included unlimited beer, unlimited buffet.
False. Not
unlimited until the...
It was clearly limited at some point.
we'll get into the details of that.
Yes.
But with the ticket, you get, theoretically, unlimited food and unlimited booze, including at your seat.
I feel like I was sold a false bill of goods here.
How much value do you think we got out of that? Like, how many beers do you think we consumed?
Yeah, I mean, if you count a regular beer at a stadium as being, like, $8 plus a tip, you know, we consumed hundreds of dollars worth of beer.
Yeah, and the food, I mean... Ballpark food's not cheap either. I ate a lot of buffalo tenders off the buffet.
We did crush that buffet seriously well.
Yeah, and the seats were good. I kind of think in the end, $120 is nothing for what we got.
Yeah, it was a pretty good value. The problem is the product on the field was poo-poo. It was...
Yes, it was.
Stupid Nationals.
Yeah, but, you know, unlimited beers, I feel like we were all a little tipsy by night's end, some more than others.
Yeah.
Spade decided to retire to the bar somewhere around the seventh inning, right before the seventh inning stretch, I think.
Yeah.
And then you kind of parked yourself there, had a beer, and then the overweight black lady behind the bar, Miss D, decided that little Andy had a little too much that night.
Yeah, it was just total bullshit because clearly we were expecting unlimited beers, and refusing to serve me is limiting the number of beers.
Like, she tried to pull me aside at first and was like, hey, you got to keep an eye on your friend there. I think he might have had too much. But I've seen drunk Andy Spay, and that was not drunk Andy Spay that night.
Yeah, I don't know where it was coming from.
You weren't, like, falling off a stool or breaking glasses yet.
I was, you know, clearly inebriated, but I was not a danger to anyone. I was not, like, picking getting into people's faces.
So is the other
a lot
20,
worse.
At least 50% of the people are just as drunk at the end of the night.
Yeah, I think the problem was I wasn't wearing stupid Nationals gear like all the big fat buffoons that infest Nationals.
That's true. Games. That's true.
Big, tight-fitting red T-shirts with their big man boobs all...
Well, and then little Andy had made a nice friend at the bar.
Rolando?
No, not Rolando. That big fat guy that started following us around.
I don't remember that.
He was wearing like a yellow polo shirt. I think he was from like Hyattsville, Maryland, and he thought we were really cool. He followed us all the way down to the main concourse level.
Yeah, I remember that now. I didn't understand that at all. That guy was just like now hanging with us.
He really wanted to hang out with us. He was kind of fishing for where we were going to go out to after the game. And then at some point we blew him off enough that he just, he was like, all right, well, see you guys. And then we went to our cool bar and he went back to Hyattsville, Maryland.
Yeah, that was weird. It's not, I don't know, is that how guys make new friends? They just tag along other groups of established friends?
I guess. I don't know. I've never actually had someone show admiration towards me, ever.
No, it's
kind of a new feeling for me. I was very apprehensive, feeling that it was some kind of big joke.
Or that he was just some sort of like rapist, murderist, something.
Yeah, which he could have been, I mean, looking at him. To be realistic, he's looked like just a big fat guy that needed friends.
Just a schlub, but he also recognized the Pals Podcast aura that we were emitting. Very cool happening social media players.
Well, I mean, we did have an executive producer's admin assistant with us.
Yeah, but or just a producer, you know.
We had a lot of Hollywood glamour in our group.
Is Lax on IMDb?
He is not.
Yeah. But they put producers on there, right? You don't have to be just...
He's not actually a producer, though.
He doesn't... Didn't you say he got an actual credit, like, on the...
He says there's some other system that the studios use instead of IMDb, and he's in that system. But he said he didn't care if he was on IMDb.com, which I find dubious.
Well, as long as he's in a system that they use.
Yeah. I'm looking at him. I'm looking him up now. I don't think he's in here.
So Friday, you guys went to Black Squirrel early before the game, which was at 7.
Yeah, so we had a good 4.5 hours there.
Yeah.
That was a little too much. It was probably 2 hours too long,
yeah.
I think.
You guys were...
Also, we were drinking heavy craft beers, which filled my stomach quite a bit and greatly decreased the capacity of what I could just crush at the buffet.
Yeah, when you needed to really gorge yourself, you had a little bit too much room with all those nice heavy porters and...
Exactly, yeah.
Ales.
But, you know, it was a fun time for all. Then post-game, we went out to Darlington House. It was not that great, I think. And,
yeah,
nothing special. Something exciting happened with little Andy there.
Yeah, then for the second time tonight, I got cut off, this time for good reason, because I don't know whether it was...
You smashed a glass against the bar.
Yeah, I was, like, losing my balance or something. I don't really... You know, it's a little hazy, obviously.
You weren't standing, though. You were sitting. You were in a fixed position on a stool, and then all of a sudden lost your balance. Decided to slam your glass into the bar.
Yeah, created an awful mess. Broke the glass. I was a little embarrassed. And then immediately the bartenders... They must have seen it coming, because they replaced the glass with a big thing of water.
Your beer was still like 3/4 full, and they took the entire glass away, yanked it away, I'd say, and immediately brought out a glass of ice water for you.
Yeah, Barback definitely laughed at me while he was cleaning up.
Yes, yeah. And then you quickly excused yourself.
And then I kicked myself out and said, well, guys, it's been real.
Well, you know, you had to get home rest for the big day Saturday, probably the most exciting time of my life. I think, came in the midday hours of Saturday.
Yeah, I'm still annoyed that this actually happened, that you made me do this. But your hotel is in Dude Pond, and you decided that you wanted to go downtown D.C. You wanted to go 45 minutes away to Chantilly, Virginia, by the airport.
Far out suburbs.
Which you said is only a 25-minute drive. However, we drove it with no traffic, and it was at least 45 minutes.
It was not 45 minutes. It was 32 minutes.
It was way more than 32, but it's...
32. Timed it. I timed it.
Did not time it.
I timed it.
You're such a liar.
I timed it, and that was with you driving like a woman the whole way, Spade.
I drove. We actually saw a guy get pulled over. I was driving to respect the speed limit and to avoid getting a ticket, and I might have blown over the legal limit had I been breathalyzed. Even though we left at noon, something around then.
We went all the way out there, shopped for some nice used video games. I of course felt very rushed by you and Jason. I could have spent hours there.
We tried rushing you, and then you're like, they're checking the game, or they're cleaning it. It's this stupid place called eStarland.com. You can just go online and get whatever game you want. You don't actually have to go to the store.
Well, the game was actually sitting on the counter for a while. I was kind of lying. It was all cleaned and ready, but I wasn't done.
Well, what else were you doing? Just looking around?
Yeah, I was browsing for great deals, Spey.
So you picked up 5 Nintendo games.
5 Nintendo games, yes.
Even though
I traded in 2 N64 games, so got 5 Nintendo games.
What were your choices here? What did you trade in, and what did you?
I believe I traded in because Ogle had an extra copy of both Zelda and GoldenEye.
For what?
For N64.
Okay.
When I purchased his system from him, he had 2 copies of each. So I took the extra copies, traded those in, and came home with DuckTales, Punch Out,
class,
Double Dribble.
It's okay.
RBI Baseball 2.
It's okay.
And Black Bats, the fishing game.
I've never played the fishing game.
It's a good game. I'm
familiar
game
with all the other Black Bats. Mentioned.
I thought it was a pretty good haul.
How much did you spend on those games?
I think $22.
And you can just go on to the NES simulator for free, and you'll have literally...
I could do that, Spade, but again, we've discussed collecting quite a bit on this show.
Yes.
I choose to now collect retro video games. You know, you collect graphic novels, you could easily download that, show it on a Kindle or iPad or whatever, but you choose to get the physical media because you're collecting it, much like I'm collecting these video games.
And once I get a nice Kindle Fire, I will probably start buying more comics online.
Yeah. Well, you know, in this office, I've got this bookshelf, and now I can start displaying my games, much like you display your graphic novels.
I mean, I do have a decent collection of graphic novels, so I do understand the need to want to show off a nice, decent collection of something, but
yes,
I still get the utility out of reading the comic books, whereas...
Yeah, I get utility out of playing the video games.
But you still got to blow on the things to clean it out.
That's part of the experience, Spay.
Pushing the button on the switching over to the different input.
Yeah, that's the fun of it.
Yeah. All my video games are going to be Galaxy S4 base.
It's too bad. Missing out, Spay. DuckTales is awesome. Just got Mega Man 2 in the mail this week also.
Are there any good turn-based strategy games for, like, an app? I feel like it would work well on an iPhone style.
There was an Advance Wars clone, basically.
Yeah, I would like to play that.
But I don't know if it's out on Android. You can check.
Everything's out on Android. They have, like, 80% of the market.
I don't know why Advance Wars just hasn't been ported onto iPhone. It's actually perfect for iPhone, yeah, or any kind of touch interface.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. Maybe does Nintendo own it? Because they're really shitty about their licensing.
Yeah, I think they own it. But there should be a bunch of clones.
Yeah, they probably patent all the different gameplay crap.
I mean, just now, I took your Nintendo DS off your hands. I just had a giant poop before the podcast.
Very nice.
And I was playing some nice... some nice Advance Wars.
Well, maybe you can get good enough so that we can actually have competitive matches on Advance Wars again. And you can actually... Well, so you won't...
Now you don't have a Nintendo DS.
Well, maybe I'll get it on my iPhone somehow. I'm sure there's a way to illegally download it. I mean,
of course.
Evaluate it.
Evaluate.
Right. Yeah, so you got my DS now. I kept saying I was going to play it to see if I needed it before I sold it to you, and then I just never charged it.
Oh yeah, eStarland. Fun time. Didn't you find it less awkward than last time we were there? I mean, they kind of shoved the anime stuff way in the back. They added that arcade section, which I thought was nice.
I would have liked to have played that arcade.
Why weren't you? I could have stayed there much longer if you had.
If I brought some quarters, they had some really good old stand-up arcade games. They had the Avengers, which I played on Genesis all the time.
Yeah, the 4-player X-Men, which is one of the best games.
Yeah, very good X-Men. You could be Cyclops, the best X-Men, as we all know.
You take down so many sentinels in that?
Yeah, so a serious side-scroller, back when side-scrollers were the rage. They had a Street Fighter.
They had Mega Man 2 playing on one of the TVs.
They had a Street Fighter. They had some good games, but they also had some really dumb shit. Like, they had rows and rows of strategy guides. Had that
who buys strategy guides? Who doesn't just go on online for a nice walkthrough?
I don't know. Who, let alone, like, an entire rack of strategy guides that you use a bookshelf for. They also still had that weird, creepy collection of anime plastic dolls. And
they did, yes. Although it wasn't interspersed throughout the store now. Yeah. It was, you know, back on one shelf back in the back.
Ceramic Japanese girls with in schoolgirl outfits with their skirts being blown up and with large chests.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Very creepy. Impossible to display anywhere and send any kind of message besides, oh, you're also a fellow pervert. We can have something in common to discuss as friends, but otherwise completely useless.
Well, I mean, we were noticing, let's say, the low caliber of the other customers at the store.
I think Lax called them all serial killers.
Yes, yes. I would have gone child molester, actually. But
yeah.
And one of the big fat guy had like a Turbo Duo, the TurboGrafx-16 CD system. But he had an actual custom briefcase for it, so he could carry it around.
That's commitment to a game system.
It is, yes. That's a real collector right there.
I mean, it's neat seeing like the original boxes for every game system, like the Jaguar, Neo Geo, all that stuff. I don't know what they sell them for, but they were on display. And then there was this stupid, like, I think Lax made a good point. If you're buying a $25 hat with a big picture of Wario on it, you are really committed to that game and letting people know that you like Wario or,
yeah,
like, Contra. Yeah, let's have a hat that says Contra on it.
In the case of Wario, though, it could be that you're Dave Weigel.
Yeah, and you just want to show everyone, it's a me, Wario, also Dave Weigel. But yeah, Lax and I were right.
But you know, I thought I was very cooperative. I could have stayed there twice as long, and I was very nice. Sped up my time there.
You could have gotten a zip car and left me out of the whole equation.
Well, yeah, I should have. But then we rewarded you by taking you to Hooters afterwards.
Well, we all enjoyed Hooters. It's not like
we did. Yes.
Not like you treated me to anything there, but yeah, some nice. The was not a popular shift because the wait staff was not at their best, I don't think.
No, I don't think so.
There was...
but, you know, it was adequate.
There was a petite Asian that was not waiting on us that I thought was... had an impressive build, so to say.
Yes, yeah, some impressive bolt-ons.
Yeah, but otherwise, you know, just your average trip to Hooters. It wasn't very crowded. Well, that was the other thing about East Starland this time. It was much more space. It was almost like a warehouse style.
Well, because it's their it's like their main shipping warehouse now.
Okay, well, then there's a lot of room to move around. Whereas the last one, it was like in to like walk upstairs, and you were it was like
in like this shady brick building.
Yeah, like going into
very cramped,
crappy apartment.
Yeah,
and then you were in there with all the other mouth breathers checking out the porcelain, the Japanese rape dolls or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So
You know, overall, very very exciting. And the day really only got better after that when we Jason and I then went to the Padres game.
Well, you're missing out. The most bizarre stop that we did is on the way home. Jason go to one of his friends growing up or from college grew up in Herndon, a nearby town of Chantilly in Northern Virginia, and got the address that the guy grew up in from his friend. We drove to the house. He got out and he took a picture of him standing outside the house.
He then, with the stupid grin on his face.
He then emailed, he also knows this guy's sister, I guess he's friends with both of them. The sister did not know that he was going to be in D.C. or even knew where they lived. And I guess he sent her the email with that saying, what's up? Without any explanation. Said that, that kind of blew her mind a little bit, which is kind of funny, I guess. But still, not all that much enjoyment on my side of the thing, but...
Other than having a fun time with pals, Faye.
Other than being the personal chauffeur to...
Yes.
You and Lax, yeah, that was fun. But we did have a fun time with pals. It gave us more time to discuss our Scloozy that we'll get to after our recap.
Yes. Following that, Jason and I went to another Padres game, sat in the Stars and Stripes Club. It was fine. I tried to start a Twitter... I tried to create a new thing going viral among the Padres blogosphere.
Yeah.
Failed miserably.
Working real hard on that one.
Yeah, working very hard. Totally failed.
Because the guy was showing poor sportsmanship, one of the fans, and what?
Yeah, it's very poor. Well, he was a typical fatso, stupid. He had a Baltimore accent also, which infuriated me.
Don't go tell me that this team's not good. Gonna go down to Ocean, drink some Natty Bays, root for the OEOs.
In fact, I'd say in general, we encountered some terrible Nats fans. Pretty much, I mean, the Friday game, we certainly had some awful ones in front of us.
Yeah, and like that bitch that cut me off at the bar.
Yeah, well, when did Nationals fans get so terrible? I feel like they used to be. Is it because last year they were good and everyone got on the bandwagon?
It's got to be.
Because I don't feel like they were objectionable before. And you're a fan of another rival team in the division? I don't think you've ever had any real issues with them.
Well, no, because they never. I think it's definitely that they got good and then they picked up more fans. What drives me bonkers are like the old people that are decked head to toe in like Nationals jerseys and shirts and crap.
Like, right, the ones that clearly had another team that they were fans of.
Yeah, or even
the other 50 years of their life.
Even if you weren't that big into baseball and you're just a local DC person or whatever, it's like you still had to start rooting for them. Like, they're a professional team. It's not like they're the local high school team where you pay taxes or it's like a local college. They're mercenaries. They used to be the Expos, and then they showed up and raped the city for $650 million to build them a new stadium downtown. And all of a sudden, it's like, yeah, I'm going to go buy their gear and show up to games and get really, really into everything and then leave at the seventh inning.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't understand how you just...
Much like that lady. The lady who rolled her eyes when I said Bryce Harper was a hack. Notice she left in the seventh inning.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, when you grow up with a team, then they're like imprinted on, you know, how you're rooting and everything. As an adult, how do you become a super fan? Like, how does that – I don't just get how that works.
I don't either.
I think they're very simple, dumb people.
Yeah.
Just like
– Except where we were sitting, the people that own those tickets can't really be that – I mean, they could be dumb, I guess. But
of course they're
– They have some cash.
They're dolts and buffoons.
I mean, not that you have to be smart to be a lawyer, which is probably what most of them are. It's just but
friend of a friend connection, and then all of a sudden you get some lawyer deal. It's rent-seeking behavior is what it is, and it's reprehensible.
Yes.
On either side of the political spectrum that you might be on, it's scumbags just taking money for doing nothing, providing no value. Yeah, but they've got to be easily led astray. I mean, those are the people that are going to, you know, I don't know. They're a scourge.
Why were we talking? Oh, yeah, right. My failure. The guy I was trying to go viral with was a big fatso stupid Nationals fan, and it would have been great if it had somehow gone viral. But that also would require my Twitter to be read by more than 12 people.
Yeah, but didn't you hashtag it Padres? That means you should get everybody on Twitter that's looking for Padres.
I thought that's how it worked. Well, I tried to include this other San Diego blog that does get stuff to go viral.
Which one?
Lob Shots.
Ooh.
He's the one who made the there was a thing about an umpire that was throwing chewing gum on the field.
Oh, yes. I heard about that.
I think Deadspin picked that up. He had another thing picked up by Deadspin a few weeks ago.
So
I was trying to include him on it, but he totally ignored me.
a real cultural tastemaker.
Yeah. Then I just gave up.
Yeah, well, giving up is the only sensible strategy.
Yeah, and then I was bored at breakfast today and totally capitulated on Twitter.
What – At breakfast today, you capitulated on Twitter?
I think that's when I just put up about how it was a total failure.
Oh, that's when you mentioned the fact that you failed.
Yeah.
Your attempt to create a viral sensation.
Well, you know, you got to try. You got to make an attempt to ever get anywhere, Spade.
I applaud the act of public shaming fat, annoying Nationals fans. What's funny is that he was saying something about he was rooting for one of the Padres to get injured or something, right?
Well, the Padres did Yasmani Grandal got injured on a dirty slide at home plate, and he said and he was out, and the guy said, at least we broke his ankle, so something good came out of that, which made me angry.
And it's that's like what a typical fan would say is poor sportsmanship, and you never root for injuries. However, as we've discussed many times, rooting for injuries is a major part of how we follow sports.
Of course, but I don't throw it out there all the time. I'm thinking it all the time.
It's more for the ability to throw it in a Nationals fan's face, but the act itself of rooting for, cheering on an opposing team's injury is certainly not anything we can condemn without looking completely hypocritical.
You're correct, yeah. I mean, I do love it. I do love it.
Like when RG3 went down, I was very happy about that.
Yeah. Well, that was one of his comments, I think, about how they at least we are RG3'd his knee. Awesome.
Which is funny because most people that are Redskins fans, if you mention it, they get like they act like you insulted like a family member.
I don't know. Judging from his Baltimore accent, he could easily be a stupid Ravens fan.
Yeah, that could definitely be. Although Ravens Nationals is a very odd combo.
Yeah, I don't know. You never know. I mean, he probably lives in D.C. He had some kids with him, so maybe he just forced to take on as the Nationals fan.
Hey, if we're lucky.
Just like all the other stupid Nationals fans.
If we're lucky, maybe he drove his car into oncoming traffic on the way home.
Yeah.
Maybe that was the last game he ever saw.
God, I hope so.
Yeah, so I skipped that game. One game between two teams I don't care about is enough for me.
Right, but then we met up for a nice prosperous steak dinner at the Top Steakhouse in Arlington.
Yeah, Raise the Steaks, which I had never been to, so it was a good excuse.
Yeah, you know, he tested it out. I think it'll be a great place to take Steve Spey in the future. I think he'd really revel in it.
He would enjoy it, yeah. One of the main drawbacks is they never did reservations, so if he was coming in...
Yeah, it was too risky to make that the dinner option.
Yeah, and he's very familiar with the Mortons and the Ruth's Chris, so that's often where we would end up.
Yes, yeah.
Or we would...
But, you know, we had a real pals dinner, very prosperous. It's sad, though. We made a reservation for four people, and only three people decided to show up to the dinner.
We were a trio when we should have been a quartet.
Of course, yes. Because for weeks, in fact, I believe on this very show, last time we had this individual... one of our Dragon Book correspondents, Clue, it's not Dragon Book Domley.
It is not. He is in New York.
Who is a good friend.
This is a friend who lives a hop, skip, and a jump away in neighboring Calvert County. A
mere 45 minutes away.
Yeah, a bedroom commuter town to D.C. So certainly not out of the realm of the possibility of driving back and forth. It's not like he would have had to... you know, get on a plane, transfer in Arizona, and take about, you know, 6 to 8 hours total and spend lots of his points, his hard-earned points.
Yes, exactly.
To get there, to get to Raise the Stakes. He just had to get in his fucking sperm mobile.
Yeah, stupid car. How hard would that have been? Instead, he just sat at home. He even acknowledged, his excuse was that he had to work on Saturday and Sunday.
Yep.
But he even acknowledged that during the time of the dinner and the hanging afterwards, he would not be working.
Yeah, he couldn't even come in for the dinner and then just leave after the dinner.
Yeah, he said on the phone, what, he can't picture himself coming in without getting blackout drunk?
That's right. He used an excuse because then we went to the best bar on the Pike, L.A. Bar and Grill.
Yes, had a nice traditional fun time there.
A little Saturday
where
night.
Another one of our friends made the effort to come out, hang.
Yeah, another coming in from, has he moved to D.C.? Has been asking.
I think it's Woodley Park now, but it probably took him... taking the metro and bus and whatever, it took him probably just as long to get from Woodley Park to LA Bar and Grill as it would have taken Weigel.
Yeah, agreed. And all Weigel had to do is park his stupid car and then enjoy a nice fun time with pals like he said he was going to, and then go back to his dumb lawyering in dumb Calvert County.
Right, and it should be mentioned that Weigel is a huge fan of Jason, and Jason was extremely excited to see Weigel.
Yeah, and let down our guest of honor for the whole weekend.
Yeah, I mean, Jason's the one that made the reservation for dinner, wanted to include Weigel out of the hope that Weigel may come. And, you know, we just had to look at that empty chair at dinner, and it was difficult.
It was sad that we left the spot there for him, just on the off chance that he would just surprise everyone and be a good pal. But nope. Dragon Book Dave said, I'd rather sit at home with my Dragon Books than sit in a steakhouse with pals, enjoy some good raw meat. And alcohol, but it was not to be.
Yeah. Can you get Dragon Book Dave on the phone?
Yeah, let's call that that poor excuse of a pal.
Yeah. He can tell us how busy he is right now.
Yeah, how his lawyering is going.
Yeah, he can't possibly spare any time from his stupid divorce case.
So busy on the weekends that he's literally working 15-hour days.
Yes, yeah.
All right, here we go. Now... the fun part of the episode where we listen to Weigel's voicemail.
Hello?
Oh, hello, David.
Hello, Spence.
Hello, Weigel.
Hello, Keen.
How's work going this weekend? Have you been very productive?
I have been very productive.
Are you literally working right now, or were they giving you a time off to have dinner?
I'm allowed time off to have dinner.
Oh, you were allowed time off to have dinner.
Oh, well, I took some.
Well, you'll be pleased to know, I'm sure, that you missed out on a spectacular time with pals and delicious steak dinners at Raise the Steaks with premium cuts of beef.
I'm not pleased to hear that. I would like to have joined the pals.
Really?
Great. That's why we invited you and made a reservation. We were just discussing how sad it was at dinner when we looked at the fourth empty chair.
I'm sorry, guys. I would have loved to have made it.
Of course. Well, then you just could have gotten in your car. What happened? Where was your car stolen?
Yes, it was stolen by hoodlums at work.
That's not true. Your car was available to drive, so why did you not just drive it in?
Because I had to work today.
Yeah. Yesterday, though, at dinner, you were free.
Yes, that's true.
So you could have driven in, had a nice steak dinner with pals, toasted. You could have had one glass of vino like a respectable adult without getting over the legal limit, toasted with pals, discussed the great time it was together, and then chowed down on a delicious cut of steak.
How was the L.A. Bar and Grill?
It was fantastic. Sean Donowski came, a good friend came, hung out until 3:30 in the morning. Sean Donowski.
Stevie Donowski.
Yeah, little Stevie Donowski showed up. He pounded down the Brew Dogs. We're up on the roof. Jason was pissing off it.
Yeah, enjoying a nice opulent time.
Sounds like a good time with pals.
It was a good time with pals. So how much progress have you made on this burning case of yours?
I've made a lot of good progress.
Is it going to be a slam dunk?
Hopefully it'll settle after we get through this.
And you're going to get are you going to get a piece of that settlement action?
I'll be like, yeah, give me some of that settlement action.
Is it going to be a structured settlement and then you can take it to J.G. Wentworth? Get your money.
Only if you sing the theme song, though, when you do that.
Come in and want me to review his selling his structured settlement to J.G. Wentworth.
Yeah. So this settlement...
It's a big ripoff.
Of course it is. They probably charge, take a huge interest, or they give you a crappy rate. I don't know. Their discount rate is probably like 15% or more.
So what was the urgency to get it done Saturday and Sunday? And also, you did acknowledge that last night you would not be working, but that you had the inability to show up without getting blackout drunk.
What's that?
The excuse given was that you didn't want to go to LABG and hang out with pals because then that would mean you'd be forced to get blackout drunk, and that would impinge on your ability to work today.
Yes, that's right.
What if you just didn't get blackout drunk?
What's that?
What if you just chose not to get blackout drunk?
I could have chosen to do that, but what's the point of going to LA Bar and Grill if you're not going to do that?
Well, I mean, only seeing your good friends that flew across the country.
That's true. Sorry, Keith. I'm a bad pal.
You really are.
Well, we've settled that case. We don't need to take that one to court.
Well, we're all in agreement on that point, then.
So we're all in agreement on that. So does this case, are you going to be in trial anytime soon, like tomorrow?
There's a hearing a week from tomorrow.
Instead of working super hard like a sucker, why don't you just go to the judge, slip him a few simoleons, and have him open and shut this case in your favor?
I might do that.
Or the other way, instead of working hard like some sort of schmuck, is find out where the judge's family members live and put a gun to their heads and say, "Judge, I expect a ruling otherwise," and then you make the noise, you make the symbol where you drag your thumb across your neck. Yeah, so you don't implicitly threat them with words, or you implicitly threat them, but you don't explicitly do it, you know, with words, because that would be legal, but you just go, "or else," and then you write, you know, move your thumb, and that way the judge gets the picture that his family member dies.
I'm not
going to
get involved with
this. You don't even want to joke about something like that?
No. I repudiate all these statements by you and their entirety.
Well, unfortunately, we've been recording this, and we're going to piece together the answers that you made, so it sounds like you're not repudiating this. Then we're going to make an anonymous call to the Maryland Bar Association.
I repudiate this.
We're just going to add a not in front of that.
What's that?
We're just going to add the word not, you saying not in different contexts and slice that in.
I figured you would do something like that.
Of course we would. We're very good at technology. Keen's a mastermind. He's Asian.
I know. Yes. All right. This is enough of a bad friend Weigel on the show today, I think.
Yeah. Thanks for confirming our suspicions, though, David.
Okay. Goodbye, pal. It's
been a very productive call. Good luck in your case.
Yeah. Goodbye, former pal.
All bye.
Well, that was fun.
Well, yes. Well, it's decided. Weigel's the worst.
I like how you tried to start a text message bomb with 12.
That failed quite a bit. Also. Very poor performance.
The only people that responded to the text bomb that said Weigel is the worst were the people at the table that you were actively hectoring into responding.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I don't think anyone else actually participated. Ogle actually participated by not sending it to the group text and only sending it to me.
Yeah.
Accomplish nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's too bad. But yeah, that brings us to, after a nice raise the stakes, we had a good LABG karaoke night.
Yeah. Yeah. Went back to the basics, saying it was very crowded there. A lot of girls there.
Mm-hmm.
The quality has certainly gone up, and we did our, our standby, at a medium pace, the best karaoke song ever.
Yeah.
I thought we performed it very well.
Mixed reactions from the crowd, but that's to be expected.
Yeah. I still am going to have nightmares of the old man sitting in the first row staring at us with an open mouth.
And he sang right after us, and he sang like some old show tune or like Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, like Bobby Darin.
It's like some old man showing off that he used to be in the army choir or something like that.
Yeah.
Right before us.
He basically looks like the cameraman on UHF.
Like the little guy?
The one that gets knocked into the mud.
Yeah, what was his name?
Noodles McIntosh.
Yeah.
He was basically Noodles McIntosh.
Good call. A little taller than Noodles, though.
A little taller, yeah, but his face, very noodlesy.
He did trip me, though, and then said, "Oh, did I do that?"
Whoopsie.
But yeah, otherwise it went well. Also, I like how Lax enjoyed the performance and then went up to the Weird Al song guy and specifically solicited his assessment of how we did.
Yeah. Yeah. What did he say?
We couldn't hit the high notes, which is understandable.
Very true, yeah. Yeah. We don't really worry about our actual singing performance.
We're not
hitting keys and whatnot.
We're not actual singers. I don't know how to use my voice as an instrument. And then I think he was just impressed that we actually sang the song, like the words, which are like,
yeah,
include spunked all over myself. And,
there were some people in the crowd that really enjoyed it, I think.
Yeah.
They were taken off guard, and I think that they were first timers that have not heard it. For a while, we were doing it like once every month. And I think the people that were going, it's just becoming a little passe after a while.
Yeah,
there was a lot of new faces last night that I think were astonished and disgusted with it.
Yeah, besides Weird Al Song Guy and his crew, there was no Dunus the Punus.
Right, yeah.
I guess those were the regulars. Oh, the Yankee engineered hat guy showed up, Santa Claus looking guy.
Yes, yeah. Not to sing, to be surly at the bar.
Yeah, just to sit there and then occasionally make a comment from a redneck perspective, old man.
Yes, yeah. But, it was a back-to-basics good time, I thought. And then we retired back to the junior executive and had a luxurious time on the rooftop.
Yeah, a little rooftop beer, a couple beers. We plowed through a good number of beers, too.
Yeah, we did.
That was the 18-pack that we bought before going to Columbia.
Yeah, did we polish that off?
The whole thing was gone before.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, good job, us.
I tried opening the high-gravity barley wine that I bought from K1 Beer and Wine. So after you guys all left and it was like 3:30, that was the only booze left in the house besides a little bit of Jägermeister. So I decided to crack it open. I had like one sip and was just like, this does not taste good and I'd probably die.
Yeah.
So I just poured it out. So that was the end of everything. And then you had to get up just a scant few hours later.
Well, we left Casa de Spey at 3:30. I had to leave for the airport by 6. So by the time we got home, in bed, packed, it was about 4 o'clock, so I got about an hour and 45 minutes of sleep.
Nice. And then...
So my day was fine. I flew out. Everything was fine. I had a nice beer at 9 o'clock in the morning at the Houston airport. Blair, however, who went to the TBFS wedding, is stuck in Portland, but
oh, why? Because of the plane crash?
Yeah, she was connecting through San Francisco, which I guess has one runway closed because of those irresponsible Koreans.
Yeah,
That's a lot. So, yeah, she's stuck there. She's in Portland right now. I don't think she's coming home today.
Well, the good news is she gets to hang out in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, I know. And I get to hang out with these beers. These beers and these Nintendo games. I'm going to crush DuckTales after this podcast.
What good is a wife when you have beers and DuckTales?
I know. Well, you know, I've been working on the office up here. I've got a nice recliner and a beer table that goes next to it, so I'll really be in prime position to crush DuckTales.
Oh, nice. So you can max and relax and then have somewhere a flat, sturdy surface to place your beverage.
Exactly. My beverage. So, hey, when are you going to plan your trip out here? You've got the points.
I have.
You gotta burn those points.
I don't want to waste them, though.
How's that wasting it? Now you have two pals out here. Well, you can write that off on your taxes if you want.
That's true. I will be doing a lot of writing it off.
Especially once whatever our LLC name is.
Ladies Love Cool LLC's LLC?
Yeah. Yeah, once we get that LLC together,
yeah.
You can definitely write this off on your taxes.
We'll work on it. I mean, there's no point.
Write it off as a sole proprietorship. It's fine.
Yeah, I guess we could do that. You know, maybe.
I mean, even Sean is going to come out here.
Maybe in the winter when I can escape the harsh, brutal winters of Washington, D.C.
I was taking advantage of my drunkenness last night and trying to earn myself an invite to the Danowski wedding, but I don't think I made any inroads with that.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be on that list either.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to make the cut. I don't think Lil likes me to start with, actually. So, what are you going to do?
Yeah, but I don't know. She doesn't really know that many of us.
Well, because she doesn't like hanging out with us.
Yeah, I guess
that. She goes out of her way not to hang out with us.
I guess that would do it. I don't know. Hopefully Danowski continues to hang out. He seems like he's still, I don't know.
Yeah, I enjoy it. Spade, I just plugged in just on a whim the Southwest flight from Reagan National some weekend in January.
Mm-hmm.
Before the baby, it'll be, let's see, it's 9,960 points each way. You have plenty of points for this, Spay.
All right. That sounds good.
Maybe you can come visit in November, maybe. I'm sure you can squeeze this into your busy schedule.
I have a very busy, important schedule. We can work it out. I don't know what – I'm not going to commit right now because I don't know what the hell's going on, you know.
You got to commit, Spay. You got to lock in the points. This is out of Reagan, too. Now Southwest flies to Reagan now.
That is nice. Is it a direct San Diego to –
No, there's no direct flights, but it's one stop.
Hey, were your parents concerned, or did they get all worried after they saw a plane crash and people died, and you were fine?
I talk to my parents like once every 3 weeks.
Well,
I mean, maybe they were. I doubt it, though.
It's one of those things where, there was like a. Remember when the DC Metro, like, six people died, went off the rails, or ran into something?
Yeah, I did get calls for that one.
Yeah, that's one of those things where then parents see it, and if it's in any way related to their kid, then they'll be like, did you hear the news? Are you all right? Is everything good?
Yeah, well, they're totally irrational about it. Their assumption is that something happened to you, even though if they did the math, it would be, 3 in 1 million chance that
right.
It's you.
But they don't, like, every time I drive on the Beltway, they don't go like, oh, are you okay? Even though that's, like, just a swirling cauldron of vehicular manslaughter.
Right. There's daily death.
Yeah.
There.
Every year you could add it up and be horrified. Like, if you piled up the bodies, it would take up a whole house.
Yes, exactly.
But they don't worry about that. But then, you know, two people die in American aviation history. Or, well, you know, from just regular crashes. But anyway, yeah. Yeah, I'll do the math. So, overall, very good pals weekend. Nobody got crushed in
nobody died.
Accident.
Yeah,
and we didn't have.
I think a good time was had by all.
Nope.
One of the better Pals Podcast meetups.
Yeah, missed out on Weigel's surliness over a nice steak dinner, but what can you do?
Yeah. Well, I guess we also avoided a bunch of stupid boner lawyer talk also.
That's true. There were no lawyers. Now it's actually nice.
Yeah. Instead, we just had Sean, and we were to pepper him with leading political questions to try to get him to explode.
Oh, yeah, that was great. When he's trying to justify building a giant wall to keep all the Mexicans out, even though they want to do the crappy jobs that nobody else wants to do and do it for
right at below market wages,
tiny amount of money, yeah, somehow that's bad. I don't get it.
Right.
Here's a whole army of
servants. Hey, we should pay more than we have to for stuff always.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense.
And if there's a whole army of servants that want to, like, literally, like, basically do all your chores for you,
yeah,
we should spend a lot of money to keep them out, to keep them from serving us.
Well, if they're going to believe in the invisible hand of the market, why restrict the labor supply by keeping them out?
That's right. Human capital is another...
Putting in an uncapitalist price floor on the wages.
Yep. It's also bullshit.
Yeah.
But, you know, it goes back to what... I do think he was about to come around to our theory that once all the olds die, we'll be...
Yeah, I was really pushing that, because as we know, that's the epicenter of my political beliefs.
Yeah, it's the root cause of pretty much any problem in the United States right now, is just old people continue to live.
Yeah, well, that's true. They continue to live, and they continue to demand to take more out of the system than they put in. Yeah.
Sucking up resources, being retired for half of your life.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they also gain the most political power and basically entrench themselves as the ones in power. Yeah.
Biggest lobby group in all of America.
All on my back.
Old people's lobby. Yeah.
I was actually just trying to push him into an incredibly politically incorrect statement. Something about the need to, I don't know, cull the numbers, if you will.
Mass euthanizations.
Yeah, well, I didn't say that, Spade. Don't go putting words in my mouth.
You might have to call a lawyer like Weigel to make sure that you repudiate that.
Yes.
Correctly.
Love repudiating.
Hey, but we also have that sluicy we need to finally reveal.
Yes, yes. Let's get to the sluicy. Yeah, we can actually wrap the episode up after the sluicy.
Yeah, big news. So your pal Jason that you grew up with is a big mover and shaker in pictures and show.
Yes, we've brought him on the show before to bring us up to date on what's going on in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And as we've discussed, he works for the production company that does it's SNL Films. So they made one of our favorite movies, which we devoted an episode to, one of our best episodes, MacGruber.
Yeah, everybody's favorite movie.
Yeah. And he spilled the beans on some sluicies for us.
Yeah. First, we told him many times that to get a MacGruber 2 movie made, we will rip as many throats as it takes. And he gives a lot of excuses, you know, there's a lot of money talk and, you know.
I thought we learned a lot about the industry. Yeah. You were peppering him with questions on the actual business side of things.
Yeah, there's a lot of ins and outs. You know, we don't want to bore all the listeners. They just want to get to the juicy, sluicy talk. But suffice to say, didn't make enough money, and the people that have the money that make these movies aren't convinced there's enough demand to make a second one. However, what we learned is that they are actually in talks now that if they get a script, they'll be able to release about 15 milios into a budget.
Yeah, we'd heard that there was actually a real-life pitch session with Will Forte.
Mm-hmm.
Where was it? Universal Pictures.
Yes.
This week. So to me, it sounds like things are moving along.
Yeah, it's in development, as they say, right?
I mean, I've heard Will Forte very interested, as he should be since he's not working too much these days.
Tim and Eric's billion-dollar movie didn't catapult him into the A-list, unfortunately.
It should have, but not yet.
I also like...
So.
Yeah. I liked how when Jason started just asking people, you know, would you, like basically doing market research, his own, his little like focus grouping.
Yeah.
Just asking random people that we were hanging out with if they would see MacGruber 2 or if they were interested in MacGruber 2.
Yeah.
But as I've told him, I mean, it's one of those things where even though we're both big fans, I don't think either of us would see it in the theaters.
I mean, these days I probably would.
Really?
I mean, I've talked about it enough. I'll spend the $20 and go see it in the theater.
I guess at this point we would kind of have to if it ever came to fruition. But
yeah, it's kind of like Vince Mancini with White House Down.
Yeah.
He wrote enough about it. He ended up giving it, what, like a C+?
Oh, yeah.
But he wrote about it enough up for the last 6 months that you really have no choice but to actually follow through and go see it.
Yeah, and all those storyboards, those were great, by the way.
Those were great. Those were Burnsy, though, weren't they?
Yeah, I believe they were Ashley Burns' creations, but they were pretty fantastic if you go look them up.
Yeah.
Channing Tatum blowing up the White House, stuff like whatever the actual plot was. But yeah, I agree. But, I mean, you didn't see the original MacGruber in the theater, did you?
No, of course not.
Same with, like,
at the time when it came out, I kept telling Jason, there's no way this is going to make any money. Nobody wants to see this movie. Nobody even likes MacGruber on SNL. So why would you make a movie out of it? So he swore to me it was funny, and he was like, Val Kilmer's awesome in it. But I don't know. I thought it was going to be – I mean, SNL movies are generally pretty crappy.
Time to go pound some cunt. Yeah, stuff like that. The guy, like, at business school was like, yeah, pound some cunt. And then it's like, oh, you're a MacGruber fan. All you got to do is pound cunt. It's like a secret code.
Yeah, so you can find people that are in the know.
Exactly. So, but most of those people didn't see it in the theaters either. But it's just like Office Space or like Wet Hot American Summer. Like, they're not.
Yeah, those didn't make that much money.
But there's a lot of demand for people willing to pay. Like, I would definitely pay $5, as would, I'm sure, a lot of people, to watch it like video on demand, something like that.
Yes. Yeah.
But I mentioned video on demand, and Lax got really upset. I think it's like a disruptive business model to.
Well, yeah, the studios are desperate to keep their current model going.
Yeah, they got to pump everything through the theaters to get their money. But there you go, in development.
Yeah, Jason certainly didn't care for discussions of Netflix.
Yeah, they're just going to stream all of our content.
Yeah.
And then also disdain for physical media, because they make money on DVDs too, right?
Right, yeah, a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's what propped up all the movie companies the last, like, 15 years.
Right, is the fact that they could just dip into all that sweet DVD cash.
Yeah, re-release all their properties.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I sold all my DVDs for $20 5 years ago.
Yeah, I did the same. I sold 100 DVDs for, like, $26.
Yeah, and I'll pretty much never buy another DVD.
And I don't miss them at all.
Nope.
The only physical media I need is retro video games.
I need that bookshelf space for comic books, not DVDs.
Yeah.
When do you think this MacGruber 2 might actually show up in a movie theater?
I'm thinking a year from now. I think next summer.
Yeah, yeah. I did like how when we asked if there'd be another if Val Kilmer would be back as Kunth. And he said, no, they're going to cycle in new villains each time, which made it sound
like... That's another exclusive for us, Spey.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Another breaking news. Another tidbit. But I like that that implied that they would just continue cranking out MacGruber movies.
Right, yeah. Well, I mean, he did say, you know, most movies, you want an incredible return. Like, the way the box offices work now, studios depend on, like, the home runs that they hit.
Yep. Yeah.
That's why they put out Iron Man. Iron Man... Basically, it's kind of like college football at a college. All the other sports lose money except for college football, and college football pays for everything.
Yep.
It's kind of like the studios have to have that home run, and then they can put money into, you know, things that don't really have a big rate of return.
Right.
I think MacGruber will make money, and the first MacGruber made money. And Jason kind of deflected that too, but the fact that most of the money is coming from international box office and DVDs and rentals and stuff.
Yeah.
But MacGruber costs like $6 million to make, and it made $9 million at the box office. So it's not like it lost money. I mean, that's a, what is that, 50%?
It's an IRR of like
50%.
Yeah.
So it's not too bad. I mean, it's not a home run. It didn't make $500 million, but it was profitable for the studio.
Yeah, the problem is they want like the Harry Potters where they know, all right, we're going to make 8 of these bitches, and each one is going to be a half a billio.
Right.
And then you just scale it up, crank them out, and then you go dive into a giant mountain of cocaine as your reward.
Yeah. But like MacGruber 2, even with the cult following it has now, I think you're looking at a $20 million movie. Revenue, box office.
Didn't he say like Kristen Wiig being attached now is like a much bigger thing now that like her and Melissa McCarthy are big names?
Yeah, I'm sure it is. But I mean, I think you're still looking at $20 million.
Right.
Let's be realistic about
it. Right, that's a drop in the bucket. That's Robert Downey Jr.'s, chauffeur bill.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, either way, I think I can see there not being a lot of motivation on the studio side if it takes up too much time. But I think, you know, it's definitely possible. I know there's a market for it. It's a good movie if they just repeat the success for the first MacGruber. I think they'll be in good shape. So hopefully,
I agree.
Hopefully, he'll come around. No Val Kilmer, but that's all right. You know, he was a
Yeah, I think they could do. I like the new villain. Actually, I think that's going to be good.
Yeah, bring it in. Mention, drop some names, but you know, just the normal names that you would think.
As a point of comparison, I just looked up what Tim and Eric $1 billion movie made. It made $200,000.
But that was also, they released the video on demand before it hit the theaters.
Yeah, and I just pulled up MacGruber. MacGruber made $8.5 million total gross.
Yeah.
It had a production budget of $10 million, but that's the domestic gross. I mean, once you factor in DVDs, everything else, it's a profitable movie.
Well, yeah, more money came in, but all that money doesn't, like, the studio, I don't know exactly how it works, but I mean, like, they don't get every dollar that, you know, the theaters take.
Right, yeah.
And they, you know.
And then I don't think they count in all of the overhead costs that they have when they're calculating each movie's profitability or when they're reporting the box office grosses and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, Jason's production company costs money. All those people are getting a taste. I mean, that's where the cost is going.
Yeah, they want to wet their
beats. Thousands of greedy Hollywood executives that have their hand in the pocket.
Yeah. Well, if you look at America, the two most successful businesses, Wall Street and Hollywood, and it's basically because that's why you have so many people that, you know, the cash flow, the faucets are on, and they just want to dip their, you know, pull their cups in there and siphon off a little bit for themselves, dip their beaks a bit. But it only takes so many lawyers and whatnot to actually add value to the product.
But right.
You do have a lot of people lining up to feed at the trough, so to speak. So, yeah, there's a – and then don't they always say that, like, the marketing budgets are, like, just take the whatever the production budget is and just cut it in half and add that on top because they don't count that?
Yeah, and I've heard that. And MacGruber, they actually – I do remember them advertising pretty heavily.
Yeah. They'll fill you up.
I'm going to watch MacGruber after the show.
I'm going to spill it.
Well, that's another Pals Podcast exclusive, Spay.
Yeah, good job, Patterson.
You want to tweet this episode out later and be sure to copy Hollywood Reporter, Variety.
Yeah, and who's the deadline? Nikki Fink?
Yeah, Nikki Fink.
He, like, told you. Boom, insiders. Maybe I'll tweet it at Vince Mancini and see if he responds, even though he's pretty good at ignoring all my tweets.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Well, this is actually topical to his blog.
Yeah, unlike... Unlike Rob Delaney, who's actually favorited multiple tweets of mine.
Yes, yes. Well, that's an hour, Spay. We really did it.
Yeah, good job. Good recap. Good time with pals.
Yeah, good weekend. It was a fun time for everyone, I think. And next week, we'll have Ogle.
Oh,
at Pals Podcast West Studios.
Mm-hmm. That's exciting.
So that'll be very exciting.
And we can talk about all about how shitty your new dog is.
Yeah, yeah.
Ogle will have...
Yeah, I let out a big sigh when I saw her. When I walked in today.
She has no idea how close she is to being booted out of that house.
Exactly.
No comprehension in that teeny tiny dog brain of hers.
She's being a stupid jerk right now and sleeping on the couch instead of staying awake so that she'll actually sleep through the night.
Yeah, but that way she's Maggie. All right, well, we can wrap this up. Good job, pals. Don't forget to go to Twitter. Check out PadresJagoff.blogspot.com.
Yeah, big night on Tuesday. Padres Jagoff was invited to the Padres social media night.
Ooh, that should be big.
So I'll be going there. I'll be meeting executives, rubbing elbows with the other bloggers. Maybe I'll meet Dex.
Yeah, hobnobbing.
One of the happiest days of my life.
Hobnobbing with the social media elite.
Yeah, I should have had a Padres Jagoff t-shirt made, but
wow.
I did not. Yeah, I'll be rubbing elbows with the elite and really, really putting us on the map, I think.
When you get all those bloggers together, is it just them, like, their heads down tweeting bullshit and no one actually...
Yeah. So Fox Sports San Diego has a social media Tuesdays on their broadcast where they'll just put some stupid poll up and think that they're doing social media with that. So I'm sure Fox Sports San Diego will be covering our suite or whatever we're on. I think we have the deck. We have the new deck that they built. But yeah, I get lots of food, beer... it's going to be a fun time.
Should be excited. I can't wait to hear about it.
Yeah,
140 characters or less.
Yeah, I'll be doing that because I don't enjoy talking or meeting people.
Yeah, who does?
So, yeah. So I'll probably just ignore everyone around me and all the other bloggers are already in there, a little clique.
Yeah.
And I don't think they really care about me at all.
You're going to be like that.
I get pretty much zero response on anything I tweet. So
you're going to be like that guy that tried to hang out with us at the... game.
Yeah, I'll be big Fatso guy.
Yeah. Well, that looks something to look forward to. I cannot wait.
Yes. Full recap next episode, Spay.
Sounds good. Yeah. All right, I got the new fake ending sound.
Yeah.
All right, so long, pals.
Bye, pals.
The podcast is over.